The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And in this corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Saturday night is always all right for the Jimmy Sangenberger Show right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. And as always, it is such a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this evening, as it is every Saturday night here on News Talk 710 KNUS. If you want to join into the festivities 24-7, 365, please feel free to tweet at me. At Sang Center, that's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. You can also DM me there as well. Plus, email me via the 710KNUS website. Just go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page at 710KNUS.com. And of course, my website, JimmySangenberger.com, is a place to go where you can click the contact page and email me from there as well. Of course, remember, never forget, there's no A, there's no I, there's no U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. And a final place you can go to, of course, is my Facebook page, facebook.com/JimmySangenbergerPro, or search Jimmy Sangenberger Media Personality on Facebook. You can message me there and, of course, like the page. Great show for you tonight. Bottom of the hour. Folks, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the Colorado Senate might be approving a very pivotal, uber necessary, so important, so valuable, so sensible, non-rights diminishing or destroying piece of legislation to establish effectively a ministry of truth. Of course, it's the exact opposite of all of that. This is Senate Bill 21-132, Digital Communications Regulation, put forward by State Senator Carrie Donovan, who, by the way, is an announced candidate, Democrat, of course, to challenge Lauren Boebert for the 3rd Congressional District. This is a monstrous piece of legislation. I'm not just saying that because I also have a business that is in the online media world through my Jimmy at the Crossroads web show and podcast that I put out in partnership with the Washington Examiner, but because it is a grievous violation of freedom of speech. We will talk about this piece of legislation, this garbage bill, with State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of SD1 up in northeastern Colorado. We'll get his thoughts on this legislation. He is on the committee in which this bill has been introduced. He's been making some rounds. He was on with Glenn Beck this week. He is quoted in an article for The Federalist by Tristan Justice. This is a monstrous bill, and we will dive into it, as well as the Polis meet out call for next Saturday. You want to hear Senator Sonnenberg's thoughts on this because he represents the agriculture community. It's going to be a great conversation coming up here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show at the bottom of this hour. In the next hour, talk about bad bills coming out of the legislative session. I wrote about this in the Denver Gazette, my weekly column. Will the General Assembly protect criminals? We're going to talk with Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman about Senate Bill 21-062, that is Senate Bill 62, which would severely limit the ability for police officers to make arrests for most crimes. For example, I'm a 2-time victim of car theft last year. A criminal for stealing a car can't be arrested. They would just be given a summons and complaint, a ticket for a future court date. And we already have a massive court backlog, so of course they're going to continue perpetrating crimes if they're caught and not brought to jail for any period of time. It is dastardly what's happening here, and absolutely nonsensical. We'll dive into the topic with Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman coming up at the start of the next hour. And then on Tuesday, it's Liberty Day, the birthday of James Madison, March 16th, 1751. James Madison, of course, is the father of the Constitution. James Madison is the father of the Bill of Rights. He crafted the Virginia Plan. He was the fourth president of the United States, and he deserves to be celebrated and recognized. Andy McKeon runs and founded Liberty Lives Forever, a civic education organization. And we're going to talk with Andy, who is a good friend of mine. In fact, he founded Liberty Day and the Liberty Day Institute, which I ran for 7 years. We're going to talk about the significance of making sure that we all speak with one another, and especially children, about the Constitution. Read it and discuss it with a child in your life, your friends, your family, whomever. Let's have conversations this next week about the U.S. Constitution. You don't want to miss my conversation with Andy McKeon as well. We've got a real treat from the year 2000, a blast from the past, that I am very excited to share with you coming up later on. So, beginning at the bottom of the hour, we've got State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman, and Andy McKeon all joining us tonight here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. And in just a moment, I want to talk about a part of Joe Biden's first address to the nation on Thursday, which, by the way, keep in mind, it was not a State of the Union speech. It doesn't look like he's going to be giving a State of the Union speech. This is the first president in I don't know how long, at least decades and decades, who hasn't given a State of the Union speech by this time, by mid-March, before. It's absolutely stunning, but not surprising, that Biden would wait. And in a few minutes, I want to share one line, 18 seconds, or one portion, 18 seconds of Biden's speech on Thursday night that had me stop listening for a moment as I was just pondering, what the heck did he just say? We'll get to that in a moment, but first, I have a special bonus bumper that I want to share with you on tonight's Jimmy Sengenberger Show from Shannon Kerfman. When she put out this tune in, I think, the late 90s, she was only 14 years old, and she's singing and playing guitar here. This is a fun tune and a little bit of funky tone to it. Few and far between, Shannon Kerfman on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show.
Between
Can you believe it? All of 14 years old when Shannon Kerfman came out with this tune. I thought it was fun, and it would brighten the mood amidst all the weather this weekend. Here, as we continue on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, just getting started, really, Newstalk 710 KNUS. Okay, so Joe Biden gave his first national address on Thursday, commemorating a year since the lockdowns began across the country. And Biden, just again, note that this is not a State of the Union speech. His first address was not a State of the Union speech. It doesn't look like he's going to give one. I don't know that he could do it. I don't think he's got the capacity to do it. But nevertheless, he managed to put out a decently presented, pretty well read, aloud speech of about, I think, 17 minutes or so on Thursday night. He got through it. Ladies and gentlemen, can we just take a moment to congratulate Joe Biden for getting through, managing to actually get the words out of his first address to the nation? Wow. Wow. Congratulations, President Biden. What a remarkable achievement. Too bad the words of your speech were not so great. Let's go to one passage of his address that just absolutely caught my attention and made me stop listening for a moment when I heard a few words come out of his mouth. Take a listen to this.
We know what we need to do to beat this virus. Tell the truth. Follow the scientists and the science. Work together. Put trust and faith in our government to fulfill its most important function, which is protecting the American people. No function more important.
Have trust and faith. Put trust and faith in our government. It was those words that I stopped listening to the speech for a moment after I heard them.
Put trust and faith in our government to fulfill its...
Why? What was it that I took note of in that speech, in those words, put trust and faith in our government, that made me stop? Well, frankly, like so many Americans, my trust in the federal government is rightly lost. The word trust. I don't trust the federal government. And I think there is ample cause and reason for this. And it has nothing to do with who is or who is not the president of the United States. It is a matter of not trusting the federal government that consistently gets things wrong, that consistently screws things up, that consistently hurts lives far more than it betters lives. I don't have trust in the federal government. It is, in my view, rightly lost by me and so many Americans. But let's get to the next one. My faith in our government has never existed, because I don't have faith in government. In fact, how can you have faith in any government? Faith in government. Not in the government's capacity to do X, Y, and Z, but faith in government or any human institution for that matter. My faith in government has never existed because I don't have faith in government. I cannot have faith in government. It is not possible. In my view, certainly from my perspective, to have faith in any human institution. You can have faith in God or faith in your fellow man and woman to do certain things. Like, I have faith and the unlimited potential of each and every individual to better our own lives. That's something you can have faith in. You can understand why faith is appropriate there. But having faith in this idea of government or this institution of government, You're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed if you actually have faith in government. Joe Biden is a prime example why I don't have trust or faith in the government. But he is not the reason why. Government in and of itself is the reason why. And I want to go to former President Ronald Reagan's, one of his most seminal statements ever, from January 20th, 1981, about government.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. It is time to reawaken this industrial giant, to get government back within its means, and to lighten our punitive tax burden. And these will be our first priorities, and on these principles there will be no compromise.
Powerful words. Let's hear that first part again.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Those are wise words from a man who understood that you cannot have faith in a government entity to do anything, to be anything. I suppose you can have faith in its capacity to do certain things, but to say you have faith in that human institution, when especially when consistently you are let down, because it is a human institution. It is prone to failure. It's prone to problems. It's prone to corruption. And yet somehow Joe Biden, as president of the United States, admonishes the American people, encourages us to have faith in government, to trust in government. I don't know about you, I got faith in God, but I don't have faith in government. And I don't think I should. I don't think anybody should. In fact, here is another statement from Ronald Reagan that I think really underscores the importance of not having trust and faith in government.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
There you go. For the same kind of reason, look, the founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, they established the federal government not to be an institution that we would have faith in to address all of our problems. Yes, we could have faith in the idea of a small r Republican form of government, in the idea of self-government, in the idea and the principle of a government created among men to protect individual rights. Insofar as that's the case, there's faith in our system of government. But in the institution of government, that's antithetical to what the framers of the Constitution and the founders of this country believed. They were suspicious of government. You cannot have faith and trust in somebody that you are suspicious of. And consider in regards to trust, I mean, Anthony Fauci, who Joe Biden last Thursday night, Joe Biden touted Fauci. Listen to Fauci. Trust Fauci. He's one of the most trusted men in the world, I think Biden said. I used to, a year ago, this time, I was calling Dr. Fauci the most trusted man in America, because at the time it seemed like he was giving us the facts, that he was giving us the truth, that he was telling us what was really going on vis-a-vis COVID-19. Then we saw just how often Dr. Fauci, who we are supposed to trust, how often he was changing his tone, changing his tune, changing his words, changing his advice. Oh, no, we don't want you to get masks. Oh, now you need to get masks and wear them all the time. oh, we shouldn't reopen schools because we're worried about community spread. Oh, wait, the data shows clearly that we can and should reopen schools. And the list goes on and on and on. He was constantly changing his tune and his message. When you have a trusted government official, a point person, being relied upon by the American people, and he keeps changing his damn mind, how are you supposed to have trust in him or in the government he's representing? That's on the trust issue. I think many Americans had trust in the federal government until recent years. And that's fine. Having trust in the government for information that they provide and so forth, that's fine. When it's earned, trust you can earn. Faith you don't earn. Faith cannot exist in a human institution. You cannot earn someone's faith. Especially when they are suspicious of you. Think about it this way. If you have faith in God, are you regularly suspicious of God? Wondering if he's really a good guy? If he really cares about you? Will you truly have faith in him if you're having doubts and suspicions about God? I don't think so. Certainly that's not the case for the government, a human institution. But that underscores for us the philosophy of Joe Biden, President of the United States, who fancies himself the next Franklin Delano Roosevelt. That's his philosophy. That's what he's bringing to the table. And we know it. We knew it before, but now we know it all the more. Let this be a reminder that we need to have, and why we need to have, a limited government. And why we need to heed words from Ronald Reagan once again, like these.
I think you all know that I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Let us never forget words like those in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, setting up systems of government and putting out philosophies rooted in the idea of individual liberty and faith in, yes, the individual's capacity to better our lives and not the government. That is exactly why we have checks and balances and a limited government in the Constitution in the first place. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg to talk about, oh, the institution that wants us to have trust and faith in it, state legislature, and how they might trample upon our freedom of speech. Don't go anywhere. It's News Talk 710 KNUS. Show News Talk 710 KNUS as the band Soul Live sings. They call it freedom of speech as long as you watch what you say, lamenting about Big Brother holding you back And folks, that seems to be moving a pace in the Colorado legislature. In this moment where there is so much concern about cancel culture and trampling upon freedom of speech and the idea that government might just get involved in helping to do that. Not just big tech itself, but also government saying, you know what? We are going to be the keepers of the truth. To the point where Colorado could have a law that would effectively establish a ministry of truth. I don't understand what's going on here, but that is not a wrong way of putting it, Ministry of Truth. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS, where I am pleased to be joined by a state senator who has been rightly disturbed by Senate Bill 132, Digital Communications Regulation. He is the senator for Senate District 1, representing 11 counties in northeastern Colorado. State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg returns here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Senator, good to talk with you. Welcome.
Jimmy, it's always a pleasure. It's good visiting with you.
Always great to have you on, sir. And man, oh man, I know you were on national radio on the Glenn Beck Show. You've been talking about this in a piece for The Federalist that quoted you. What is going on here with this piece of legislation put forward by State Senator Kerry Donovan, who, by the way, is an announced candidate to challenge Lauren Boebert in her congressional District 3?
Absolutely. And you don't know if she's doing this so she can thwart what her competition is going to be in that third congressional race, or if this is truly a part of a national effort to thwart freedom of speech. Colorado, this bill sets up a five-member commission appointed by the governor with no balance, no required political balance, no balance whatsoever. He can appoint whoever he wants, and they have the power to determine what is the truth, what is fake news, what should be appropriate for social media or even blogs, and then gives them the power to fine, as well as gives them the power to set fees. So, Jimmy, I hope you got your checkbook out. If you continue to do anything on social media or your blog or website, you're probably going to have to write some checks if this passes.
Here's part of the bill in the summary. It says, indeed, a digital communications platform that fails to register with the division commits a class 2 misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $5,000 a day for each day that the violation continues. That would put a small business like mine out of business right away, Senator Sonnenberg.
Oh, absolutely. And it would put a number of, you can look at a number of these smaller newspapers that allow comments after columns. I'm assuming they would have to register as well. And those comments would be subject to this commission as well. It's just mind-boggling, the attempt here to, for a commission to determine what is truth, what is free speech, and what is hate speech.
Let me read a little more from the summary of this legislation. The division shall investigate and the commission may hold hearings on claims filed with the division alleging that a digital communications platform has allowed a person to engage in one or more unfair or discriminatory digital communications practices on the platform, which practices include practices that promote hate speech, undermine election integrity, disseminate intentional disinformation, conspiracy theories, or fake news, or authorize, encourage, or carry out violations of users' privacy. And the list goes on with several other items. Senator Sonnenberg, what's wrong with allowing the all-knowing, all-powerful government to regulate what it is or is not appropriate speech online?
Well, our forefathers thought so much of free speech that they made that the First Amendment to our Constitution. And quite frankly, I don't want government telling me what they can say, what I can and cannot say, if I agree or disagree with government and their actions, or quite frankly, with someone else in a social media setting. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to thwart that type of conversation. I mean, we can agree to disagree, and the only way we educate people and learn about each other and each other's perspectives is to have those conversations, even if we do disagree.
You know, one thing that I think is important, again, we're talking with State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, who represents Senate District 1 up in northeastern Colorado. One thing that always is so striking to me is this idea that we can basically suppress certain speech and then that will make it go away. In fact, what ends up happening, and history shows us this, is when you forcibly suppress the ability for people to speak about certain topics or try to put that into the corner, it makes things even worse because then they get introduced to even more maybe asinine or crazy ideas, and then they start building up and maybe you get in a dangerous situation and what have you, versus actually having everybody out in the open being able to express themselves and then have their ideas challenged and then maybe find out this isn't a good idea, or other people learn, you know what, they're not right, there's no support for that claim. If you can't have that free discussion, Senator, then you're not going to be able to suss out those ideas and identify the ones that are just not proper or identify the things that don't have a factual basis.
And I think that's the intent of this. There's only one idea, and that's the other side's idea, or whatever this commission, however they lopside this commission, their idea is the only correct idea. Any challenge to that would be fake news and could be labeled as fake news and then removed. And it just is, it is beyond me that we would even consider such a bill. And what's really disturbing to me is that even those on the other side of the aisle have not pushed back, have not publicly came out against such a commission, including our governor. And that is, should be a scary thought to all of us with regard to our freedoms and liberties. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on.
Well, although when we talk about the Democrats, Senator, this seems to be not, and Vince Carroll wrote about this week in the Denver Post, this seems to be something that is not just about a fringe idea, but really is becoming increasingly mainstream among Democrats, that the, again, all-knowing, all-powerful government should get involved in regulating what is or is not truth. But if you go to the history of the First Amendment, and you talked about the importance of freedom of speech, but also when you talk about a free press, and so much of what's online is in essence an exemplification of freedom of the press, the idea behind that was to check government, not for government to be able to check the press.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what our Constitution and those amendments are for, is to protect the citizens from government. The scary part of this is, if they move this forward and pass this, what's next? What part of our Constitution are they willing to undo next to move an agenda forward? And that is a bigger, scarier thought to me than this.
There's a passage here in this piece for the Denver Post by Vincent Carroll that I want to read because, look, they're looking for the government to step in. And by the way, this is why I don't think government should, the federal government should increase its regulation of big tech, and clearly state government as well, because I think it will make the situation even worse. And this is proof that I've been right for years in making this claim in my assessment. But there's a very important point that Vince Carroll makes, which is that this is nothing new, this kind of concern about misinformation being spread in certain quarters. Quoting Carroll, nor is there a regulatory solution for misinformation and disinformation, which has always been rampant in society and too often fanned by the dominant media of the day. Concern over sensationalism in the 1940s, for example, spurred a national commission of intellectuals led by University of Chicago president Robert Maynard Hutchins to breathlessly lament how the press, quote, can spread lies faster and farther than our forefathers dreamed. A complaint with distant echoes in today's indictment of social media. Your thoughts, Senator?
Well, and he hits the nail on the head. And quite frankly, if you have those ideas put out and someone challenges those ideas under this bill, all of a sudden, I'm violation of hate speech. We can't even have that conversation anymore. And so what they put out, or whatever this commission says is the correct, is the truth, and it's a truth commission, if they say it's the truth, then who are we to argue with it?
Right.
That becomes an even bigger challenge.
You said this in The Federalist, quote, "It's almost like a giant commission, just like Facebook, to determine what posts are accurate and what are not." And I think that quote from the article on this story is true, except big difference between Facebook and what's being proposed here by left-wing Senator Donovan is that this would have the force of law and government behind it, Senator Jerry Sonnenberg.
That is absolutely correct. The big difference here is you don't have a private entity that it's created a platform. Matter of fact, that platform would be underneath and governed also by government and this commission and the full force of government and the law.
And keep in mind, too, this is important. I want your feedback on this observation, which is that, look, big tech companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google, which owns YouTube, they can easily adjust to a state like Colorado or the federal government more so than an upstart company that may have to make radical changes to their business model or may find it more expensive to get it a bit to get through the barriers to entry. In other words, you're putting the little guy out, the newer, smaller companies out of commission, or making it more difficult for them to get in the space and compete against these big tech companies that people on the left and the right agree have an inordinate amount of power and influence on our discourse.
And we should have learned that over years and years of regulation on business. We do the same thing. The more regulations we put in place, the big, large, big box companies, the mega companies, are the ones that survive and absorb it. The medium and small guys, they're the ones that go by the wayside. And all of a sudden, then you have one voice speaking for everybody else, whether you like it or not. And their message seems to be endorsed as the truth.
Yeah. And then they're the ones, the big companies, who get to have a seat at the table and help shape the regulations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're the only ones that are viable left to be able to influence a commission or influence the governor to appoint other members. And it becomes one of the biggest corrupt systems that you could ever dream of starting.
Again, we're talking with State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg of Senate District 1 up in northeastern Colorado. You sit on the State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee. That's where this bill, Senate Bill 132, was introduced. Where are things at with this legislation? I think it's freshly introduced, but is there discussion on where it may go? How likely do you think this is going to pass? What are your thoughts in that regard, Senator?
Well, I honestly don't know if it will pass or not. I maybe that's the eternal optimist in me that says that we still have a number of legislators on both sides of the aisle that believe in our First Amendment and understand the damage that it can do to both sides of having a conversation and a discussion on policy. I am hoping that they see that as well. But as you know, as well as I know, oftentimes the Democrats will band together and support each other and lead each other around like sheep.
I also wonder, though, if this could be, let's say it does fail, maybe Kerry Donovan, the senator behind this, is thinking, you know, at least I can stake claim against fake news, so on and so forth, so that I can use that in my congressional campaign and say, I supported and actually introduced legislation to address the false information that is being put out by the right, and then use that for fundraising and what have you. Maybe that's what's going on here, and the Democrats are not going to let it go through.
Well, that very well may be, but quite honestly, I think it's a misplay on her part because I can't imagine people wanting to write checks to somebody that's going to destroy the Constitution. Yeah. I don't care what side of the aisle you are. And I assure you that Lauren Boebert would take this and destroy a candidate that wants to destroy our Constitution.
I'm also worried, let's say this did get passed, digital communications regulation, a.k.a. the Ministry of Truth, about all the frivolous complaints that will be filed against upstart businesses and just completely decimate them because they are, for example, maybe abiding by these rules. But the idea from the political opponents is let's just tie them up in these regulatory fights so they have to spend their money going against the government in this. That's what I think would be the most obvious consequence to this kind of legislation if it were to become law.
Oh, there's no question. If you have somebody file a complaint against you and all of a sudden you have to lawyer up, you make a choice. Do you shut down your business or do you try and spend enough money to defend yourself in hopes that you survive at the end? There's no question that could be maybe even one of the motivations.
Let's go back to the bump in coming in. They say freedom of speech as long as you watch what you say. And that determination of whether what you say is in violation of the law or not would be because of this Ministry of Truth. Again, we're talking with State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. We've been discussing this SB 132, but I also want to get your thoughts, Senator, since you represent 11 counties in northeastern Colorado, a heck of a lot of our agricultural folks in this state live in your district, Senate District 1, and next Saturday is Governor Polis's big meat out day. He doesn't want people eating meat and basically is saying we're waging a war via the governor, I think, against agriculture. What do you make of this?
Well, I need to give him an award because he's probably the salesman of the year. There has been more meat sold and more events put together, and he has awakened a sleeping giant, and these farmers and ranchers and people in rural Colorado are banding together with a number of different events all over the state to have a meat in event and barbecue and eat all sorts of different meat. And the interesting part about this is if I challenge the governor as I have on this specific meat out day, would that Ministry of Truth punish me for having hate speech? So it's a great big circle that we're chasing here. But rural Colorado is banding together to stand up against the governor and support our agriculture industry, the number two industry in the state, quite frankly.
Senator, clearly you would be violating any of the tenets that underscore why the Ministry of Truth is put in place, because you would be going against the sacrosanct vegans and vegetarians in this state. And I don't think you can get away with it.
Well, I obviously wouldn't, but I'm sure I would spend a lot of time in jail with my friend.
That's true. A heck of a lot of other people who would end up in violation. No, I don't even understand the logic here, except, yes, I think you're absolutely right in terms of the salesman of the year giving a great excuse for people to go enjoy some delicious meat and help out local Colorado small businesses and the Colorado agriculture economy. I wonder if almost there was an intention of him to make a political point for the left. Oh, let's do a meat out day and then actually help the small businesses in need. Maybe that's what his goal was.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe. Simply,
I'm too generous.
He has made, and I understand simply because this is a systematic over the last couple of years attack on agriculture.
Yes.
This isn't the first time.
Elaborate on that, please, Senator.
Well, you can look at a number of different things that he has done to poke agriculture in the eye. When he force-fed Impossible Burgers to all the employees at the Department of Ag, when he appointed Ellen Kessler anti-animal or an animal activist to the state veterinarian board who oversees livestock or veterinarians that deal with livestock production in the state. I could go on and on about all of these different attacks and different pokes into agriculture's eye.
And finally, Senator Sonnenberg, what is your message then on this topic, encouraging folks for a meeting? What's your message to people in the Denver metro area who are living in the city or in the suburbs listening to this program right now about supporting Colorado's agriculture industry?
What I want them to know is there are a number of farmers and ranchers out there that have been on the land for over 100 years, and we take care of that land and our animals, as well as we take care of our children. I have taken baby calves into my kitchen, into my bathroom in a cold day to warm them up. We are stewards of the land and stewards of the livestock, and I want people to understand how well we take care of our animals and the natural resources that God has blessed us with.
So well put, and what a great positive note to end on amidst all the craziness that we've been discussing with you, State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. I don't know what I'm going to do next Saturday yet, but I'm definitely going to enjoy some scrumptious meat in honor of His Royal Highness King Jared Polis. Senator, thank you so much for joining us, and stay warm and safe out there.
I appreciate it, Jimmy. You have a good weekend as well. Talk to you soon.
All right, once again, State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. What an absolutely ridiculous thing, this SB 132. Not just ridiculous, but truly dangerous. The meat out thing from Jared Polis, that's truly ridiculous. But also, as the senator suggested, helpful for our agricultural industry. I think we're going to have a lot of meat enjoyed next Saturday, the 20th. Make sure to do that, to get out there and support local businesses, and especially Colorado's local agricultural folks, because they need our help and support. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the next hour, Mayor Mike Kaufman of Aurora will join me, plus Andy McKeon of Liberty Lives Forever. Keep it right here. It's News Talk 710 KNUS.